The souls led to Christ through the Apostle Paul's ministry. Churches started, Brother Mike, all over that part of the world. And his work is still going on today as we read the Word of God. The books that God allowed him to pen down are still being used today, and we use them today, no doubt. And his work continues to this day. But there was some affliction along the way. And it wasn't because Paul was out of the will of God that affliction came. Now, can affliction come because we're out of the will of God or have sin in our lives? Absolutely, sure can. That's not always the reason, and we don't need to always look at another brother or sister and wonder what in the world they've done, or, you know, what must they have done, what kind of sin must they have committed to be in whatever condition they might find themselves in. And Brother Terry, we find ourselves in a lot of different conditions throughout life, don't we? All kinds of different ways. And it's not always because of sin. And you know what? Even if it is because of sin, God's big enough to take care of it. And we ought to pray for one another as believers. I don't think any of us can raise our hand this morning and say, God's never afflicted me. I've never sinned. Anybody can raise their hand and say that this morning, kind of like Jesus. He that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Right. Not very compassionate toward each other sometimes if we're not careful. And I'm not saying this church is that way. We've got a good church of people that love one another. But if we don't watch, our carnal hypocrite nature will pop up sometimes. Brother Mike will tend to look down the barrel of our nose. Sister Mary, we can do that. We're capable in this flesh of doing that, looking down our nose at somebody else and thinking, well, I've never done that, or I've never said that, or I've never, well, just hang around a while. You might. You're real surprised what you might do throughout a lifetime. And if you haven't done that, you've probably done something else, and maybe that brother or sister hadn't been caught up in. We need to have compassion on one another. But affliction, God uses affliction in our life. I would soon rather have it some other way. Brother Jim Gambrell and I were talking about that yesterday over at his house. And Jim told me early on in my Christian life, Brother George, he said, I never pray for patience. And I thought, well, I wonder why he never prays for me. You know exactly what I'm talking about, brother. And everybody in here does. If you read your Bible, you know what he's talking about. But the Bible says that boy, God takes affliction, and he takes the things in our life, negative things, and he produces good things out of them. But Brother Thad, we don't want to go that direction sometimes. And the scripture can go so far as to say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and they are. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Sometimes I think we have a little more trouble sometimes than unbelievers have out in the world in certain ways, because God cares more for us, and we've got an enemy. We have the devil to deal with, Brother Mike. But thank God that same verse that says many are the afflictions of the righteous says also, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Right.
Thank God for that. And that's a difference. And it's a huge difference. But afflictions do come. And boy, if we don't watch, we'll grow hard in our afflictions. Sometimes we can lose faith in our afflictions. You probably had times in your Christian life where it seems like God was just answering prayer left and right, and boy, the windows of heaven were open, just as the Lord says, and God had poured you out a blessing there wasn't room enough to contain. And there's been times like that. If you've been saved any time at all, you've had times like that in your Christian life, and then sometimes it seems like the heavens are silent. And Brother George, I hear some of the older men of God say down in our camp meeting, even to this day, I hear them say that if you can't track him, trust him. And boy, that's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. My wife and I have been going through that some lately ourselves, and I'm learning there. I am. I'm learning about that area of my life, and I need to. God doesn't put anything on you that you're not able to bear, first of all, and secondly, that there isn't a lesson in it to be learned, Brother Mike. And I thank God for that God teaches us along the way, and he's long-suffering, and he teaches us as we can handle things. It's a continual learning process till we get home and be with the Lord, and I need more patience, and I'm learning that. I'm learning that. God's got me in school right now. Job chapter number 23 and verse number 10, remember what Job said, and we're going to look at that at the tail end of our lesson this morning too, with the help of the Lord. Job chapter number 23, verse number 10, so we'll read this verse twice. Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. God knows the way that every one of us take. He knows the way that we take. And he said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he's done trying me, when he's through, he said, I'm going to come forward as gold. Well, you know, gold has to be purified, has to be melted down, the impurities have to be taken away. And the scripture talks a lot about that, about purifying metal and relates it to our spiritual life. And that's exactly what he's talking about. When God gets the impurities out of me, I'm going to come forward as gold. He's working on me. He's taking some things away. And boy, that purifying process takes place many times in the furnace of affliction. God does it in with affliction. He'll get the impurities out of our life. And boy, there's sometimes you go into an affliction and you think, boy, you think you might even be prayed up. You think you might be walking with God, and you wonder, why in the world is God allowing this in my life? Well, I'm sure the devil's come along in the last few days and last week or so and whispered that in our pastor's ear. We think he's out of the will of God? No. He's got some affliction right now, doesn't he? God's going to make him into something better when he comes through the other side of that. And it's hard to see right now. It's when you're in the affliction, it's hard to see that. It really is. When you get on the back side of it, sometimes you can look back and God will give you a little insight. And you think, man, wow, Lord, you knew what you were doing. I thank God. You know, there's some things I learned there that I'd have never learned any other way. But boy, it's hard to see that when you're in the midst of the storm. You get blinded by the driving wind and the waves and you can't see anything. Brother Gary, it's hard to see then. And that's when we just got to blindly trust God by faith and say, you know what, God's been captaining this ship for a long time. He's never taken me in the wrong direction. He's always taken care of me. I'm just going to trust. I can't see. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why I'm here. But I'm going to trust that God's taking me in the right direction. I'm just going to trust Him. When he was, like I said, Brother A.C. Durham, I wrote it down, it's back here on our copier. He said one time, I don't know, it's in a men's fellowship or a camp meeting, when you can't track Him, trust Him. And that's the truth. Sometimes we've got to do that. And I think God's big enough to let us know if it's sin in our life or the cause of the reason of our, if we're being chastised. I never had any question about the fact when I was growing up, Brother Gary, when I was being chastened by my dad, I knew full well when I was being chastened. I didn't have to question, well, I wonder what he's mad at me for. That's strange. No, I mean, I knew exactly why he was. And I think, and you all can testify to this, as a believer, God has a way of letting you know if it's something you're being chastened for. And you also know when you're not being chastened. And I think sometimes those can be the most difficult times, because if you're, and I'm not saying any of us are ever perfect. Don't get me wrong when I'm saying that. But you're making a very good effort to live for God to the best of your ability, and affliction comes. Those are some of the hardest times to endure if you look at the scripture wrong, or if you become selfish, or because sometimes you start thinking, Brother Mike, you start thinking, then, wait a minute, I'm living for God. I should be getting blessings, not affliction. What's going on here? But we don't have to look far in the scriptures to find people that went through the same thing. We just talked about the Apostle Paul. Well, the whole life of Job, the whole story of Job, what had Job done? I mean, was he out of the will of God when God came with affliction in his life? No. No, and you know, if God's no respecter of persons, we talked about this last week. Remember, the Bible says that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And God said, hast thou tried my servant Job? And he said, well, how can I? You got a hedge about him. I can't do anything with Job. And God said, there's not another one like him in the land. And the devil said, well, let me have a crack at him. We'll see how much he loves you. And we talked about this last week, but Job was the wealthiest man in the East. I mean, God had blessed him like he hadn't blessed anybody else. It was almost like looking at Solomon to a certain degree, and not like Solomon. I know there's wisdom, different things with Solomon, but nonetheless, God had blessed him abundantly. And what the devil was saying, Brother Gary, is let me take some of those blessings away and let's see how much he loves you. Let's see if he really loves you, or if he's just serving you for the blessings. That's what he's saying. And boy, the Lord allowed the devil to come in the life of Job. But boy, don't think he didn't come out a different man than he went in. He came out a very different man. And the Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, we know the tender mercies of the Lord. We've seen them. We've seen the end of the Lord, that he's gracious and full of compassion. And boy, I mean, he blessed him back with double everything he had before. He had given him back everything that he lost. But Job came out of that condition a stronger Christian than he went in, there's no doubt about it. And I think there needs to be a time in our life where everything's emptied and the Lord has to see, well, do they really love me for the blessings, or do they love me for me? Do they love me because they really love me, or do they just love me for the blessings? Sometimes God's got to find that out in our life. And he allows the devil as a tool in his handbag. And really, that's what the devil is. Hard to see that way, but God uses the devil as a tool. He's an instrument in the hand of God, and he uses the devil to purify his people. Now, hard to comprehend, Brother Mike, but we know that from Scripture. Remember what we've been looking at with Peter. As Peter told the Lord, Lord, I'll not deny you. I'll go with you to death. God, I'll never forsake you, Lord. He meant that. He meant that. And you know what? There's some things that I've meant along my way, Brother Gary. I really meant, I mean, from the depths of my soul. But you know what? When certain circumstances came, Brother Terry, I found out I didn't have the strength I thought I did.
Right.
I found out I reacted a different way than what I thought I would react. And boy, the Lord was teaching Peter some things. He was teaching him some things. He was going to show him some things through affliction. He was going to show him his weakness. Now, he couldn't rely on his own strength. He had to rely on the Lord's. He was going to purify him. There are all kinds of things that he learned. We could speculate on that all morning and talk about some things that changed in the life of Peter. But God used the furnace of affliction to purify Peter. And the Lord told Peter, he said, and you know what he told him? He said, before the cock crows twice, he said, you'll three times deny that you even know me. That had to just completely let the wind out of it. I don't think Peter could believe that in himself, Brother Terry. How could I? What do you mean, Lord? But he knew it being God, it had to be true.
Right.
Boy, and it was just a matter of time. And sure enough, he did that very thing. And the Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter. And he said, after you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen your brethren. That's what he told him to do. And you know what? After we come out of affliction, after we come out of the furnace, like the three Hebrew children, we get out of there. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take what we've learned and strengthen the brethren. Now, they didn't have a failure to produce theirs. They went in faith and came out in faith. And Peter had a failure. But you know what? We can come out of failures and strengthen the brethren, just like we can come out of the furnace in faith and strengthen the brethren. You can come out in faith and say, boy, I trusted God. And, boy, look what God did, and we can testify to that. And sometimes we'll drop our head in shame when we fail God. We think we don't have anything to say. But if you've learned, if you've been converted like Peter has, if you've been changed, you got something to say. And you can strengthen the brethren through that experience, whatever it might be, when you've come out of the furnace of affliction. And God can use you to help the brethren. We looked at last week, we're not going to spend a bunch of time there, but we looked at last week, Peter over on the day of Pentecost, and how all those thousands were gathered there out of every nation around that area. Boy, and they all heard God speak to them in their own native tongue. And boy, they begin to say, what's going on here? These people must be drunk. They must be drinking new wine. And boy, Peter stood up in the midst, and he lined out the whole crowd. And he spoke to them a prophecy of what God said would happen when Jesus came, and how people, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he went on to even accuse them. He said, you've taken the same Lord, Jesus Christ, he said, and you've taken him and you've crucified him by wicked hands. You've slain the Lord. And this was the same man that denied the Lord outside of the judgment hall among a few. I don't know how many were there. It certainly weren't as many as were gathered there on the day of Pentecost, Brother George. I don't know the exact number when he was standing outside there, when he was standing outside the judgment hall and they'd taken Jesus inside. But he was scared. He was fearful because they had just taken his Lord in there, and I think he was thinking, boy, they might take me in there and do the same thing. He was fearful. But here he is on the day of Pentecost standing before thousands. The same thing could have happened, Brother Gary. The same thing could have happened. He was standing before a lot more witnesses this time. He didn't even flinch to speak up for the Lord the second time. Because God had purified him in the furnace of affliction. He changed him. Peter was a changed man. It never would be the same from that point on. God had used him then like he'd never used him before. And sometimes it takes the furnace of affliction to purify some things in our life that just aren't right in the sight of God. And I think that's a process that goes on throughout our entire life, Brother Mike. Just when we might be satisfied with our Christian service, I don't think any of us are, if you have any kind of right thought toward the Lord. But we might be, let's put it this way, we might be more satisfied with our service than God is. God might see some dross there. He might see some things that need to be pulled out, some impurities, and he's going to use affliction to get them out. And there's more than one thing that went on there in the life of Job, and God was certainly purifying him. He was proving point to the devil. He did a whole lot of things, and he also set up an example that we could look to down through the ages. For thousands of years, people have been looking to Job as, boy, the supreme example of suffering, and how, boy, if Job could go through that, surely I can go through what I'm going through. And you realize that God uses your life as an example to other believers too. Hard to comprehend and think about that way, but he certainly does. Somebody's looking at you and thinking, if you're surviving the storm and you're hanging in there for God, whatever afflictions come your way, somebody, and probably more than just somebody, probably several somebodies, are looking at you and thinking, man, they must be real. There must be something to this Christianity. If they can suffer like that and still keep a good attitude and still go on for God, there's got to be something to this. Yeah. And sometimes they can see that more in affliction, Brother Gary, than they can see it when we're on the mountaintop. Yeah. You know, because they know when they get in a valley like that, their house is built on sinking sand, and boy, the foundation just crumbles when bad times come. They know how they reacted to the same situation, or they've seen somebody maybe that was lost and didn't know the Lord go through the same thing, and then they're looking at you and they're saying, well, there's a difference here. Man, I can see a difference. I remember when old so-and-so went through that same situation, and boy, when the storms came and the floods arose and the winds beat against their house, boy, they just fell apart. But man, they're still standing. Look at this. You notice that in that story too, that parable that the Lord gives us about the two people that built their houses. One built their life on the Lord and on the principles of the Word of God, and the other one didn't. Both had the same kind of house. Both probably looked about the same. The difference was when the storms came. Jesus didn't say you're not going to have any storms in your life. I think I, for, you know, just out of pure ignorance when I first got saved, I think I had a little bit of that mentality. Well, life's just going to be good from now on. Nothing bad's ever going to happen. You learn quickly that that's not the case. You also learn quickly that you're no longer walking through those valleys alone anymore. No longer alone. Jesus didn't say, I'm never going to give you any affliction. He said, I'm going to help you through the affliction. I'm going to deliver you out of the affliction. That's the difference in the life of the believer. We get deliverance out of affliction, not that affliction won't come. So let's not have a pity party. I've done that. I don't know if you've done it before, but let's not have a pity party when affliction comes. Something the Bible said would be there. Jesus said, boy, if your master suffered, if I've suffered, he said, you're going to suffer too. The disciple's not above his master. He said, if I've suffered, you're going to do some suffering. It's part of life. It's part of life. It's going to come. And when it comes, we need to support one another, pray for one another, and keep our faith in God and just wait on him. Just wait. Do what we can do in our ability and wait on God. That's all we can do. We keep our faith and our trust in. And even when the dark times come, we don't understand exactly what's going on. We're living in a day right now, in a time where a lot of folks are going through that very situation. Jesus, being our supreme example, suffered affliction like nobody else has. I mean, now we're talking about God now. God in the flesh suffered affliction, Brother Gary, while he was here. None of us would argue that fact. Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 4, the Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was afflicted. He suffered affliction. God in the flesh, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank God for that. He was willing to go through all that for us. And you know what? We ought to be willing to go through some things for the brethren, too. We ought to be willing to suffer sometimes for the brethren's sake. That's what our Lord did. And he said, we ought to do that one for another. Verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned aside everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We do good to abide by that rule too. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Sometimes we get down in the valley, that's the first thing we want to do is bellyache and complain and murmur. And boy, you get angry with God and with everybody else and be grouchy, and that's no time to be like that. It's time to wait. Be patient. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. Lord, you brought me safe this far. I'm not going to quit trusting you now. And it'd be like Job. Well, boy, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm not going to turn my back on God. You've been too good to me. I'm not going to let this valley take me under. I'm going to let you make me into something better. And that's what he's trying to do. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so openeth not his mouth. So he openeth not his mouth. The Lord didn't, he wasn't swift to speak. And that whole time he was going through that crucifixion process, the Lord wasn't back talking. He wasn't raising his voice to those people that were nailing him to the cross or were hitting him with the cat of nine tails. Brother Todd, he just let him do it. Let him do it. And he didn't have much to say about it, Brother Gary. You don't find many human beings, people, that would act like that, you know. I mean, we can do a lot of things through the Lord that we wouldn't think we'd be able to do. And we do good when affliction comes to guard our tongues very closely. Because when we're hurt, when a person's wounded, you can hurt other people around you. You can hurt your family, you can hurt your friends, you can hurt the church by just those comments that you make. Those wounded comments can hurt the brethren. And we'd be better off just to be quiet during those times and pray and trust the Lord. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 36, the Hebrews Hall of Faith. And boy, we like to read about those that, boy, had great victories in faith in the book of Hebrews. And boy, we think about Abraham and we think about Moses and Noah and all the people throughout Scripture, boy, that have accomplished great things through their faith. And boy, there were also some other people mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 36. Again, this isn't a subject that any of us like to think about. We'd rather be talking about the blessings, rather be talking about heaven, Brother Gary, rather be talking about the good things. But we have to have a sober reality that afflictions are going to come in the life of the believer, and we have to know how to deal with them so we don't get down in the mouth and want to throw in the towel when they come. Because it isn't going to be every day. God's not going to require afflictions every day. But they are going to come, and boy, we certainly need to know how to handle them when we do. And we need to realize more than anything, I think we can keep our focus trained on the fact that afflictions are going to produce a better me on the other end. They're going to produce a better servant, a better Christian. On the other end of this trial, I'm going to come out better. I'm going to be like Job said, I'm going to come forth as gold. I just got to keep that in mind through this affliction. And keep that in mind and in focus. I think it helps us endure afflictions a lot better. We can realize the reason for them and what God's trying to produce. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 36. He talked about all the Hebrews Hall of Faith. He gets down toward the end of the chapter and he said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. That's what God said about it. That's the other thing. Don't ever think that God's not paying attention to those guys and the affliction that we're going through. He knows full well what we're going through. God said the world is not worthy. We're talking about having respect. God's got special places in heaven. We read about that over in the book of Revelation. For those that have been involved in his service or their lives have been taken for the testimony of the Lord, God's got special, I mean, he's got elevated positions in heaven for people because of things they endured down here, Brother Mike. So we never need to think God's not paying attention. He knows full well what's going on in our life. He said, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And he said, you know, some of them didn't obtain all their reward in this life. They didn't get to see the good things. They lived their life, Brother Mike, and maybe have finished it, you know, being sawn asunder, Brother Gary, or being tormented, being afflicted. Not everybody got to finish in a way that they want to, but more when they got to heaven, don't think the Lord didn't reward them for it. They did finish well. This didn't happen in this life. And afflictions come. They come. And they come, and even in the people we read about earlier in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, boy, all those people had affliction in their life. They had afflictions at different times. But God used that to produce a better believer in the end. Every time. Every time. Always he used affliction to produce something better. Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 15, the Bible says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil. And it's like that. When you're going through affliction, it just seems like the world's coming to an end. It seems like the sky's falling, the sky's dark. It seems like the sun won't shine again. But hang in there, it will. The sun will shine again. The mountaintop will come again. But it seems, when you're going through it, like everything's going wrong. You ever hear of that old saying, when it rains, it pours? Yeah. That's the truth. You don't usually get just one thing happen. You'll have four or five or six things all happen at the same time. Right. The devil will make sure of that. Yeah. No doubt about it. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But the Bible says, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. At the continual feast. And you can go through affliction and still have a good attitude if we keep our mind trained on what God's trying to do. Keep our faith and our trust in the Lord. Don't think that God's forsaken you. Don't think that God just quit caring. Don't think that God's disappeared. Well, I know God can do anything, but will he do it for me? And boy, you start having all these questions go through your mind. And but Mike, we just keep our confidence in him and wait. God will come through. He'll come through every time. He always does. David understood some things about affliction. He didn't understand at first, but he began to understand after God taught him some things through affliction. And we'll finish out looking at those couple things this morning. But if you would, turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're almost finished this morning. Just want to look at a few more verses of Scripture. David had been taught the very thing we're talking about this morning by the Lord. Through affliction. He didn't understand it at first, but he understood it later. You think when he was running from Saul, David wouldn't, Brother Jim and I were talking about this yesterday, but David was in the will of God. He'd been anointed to be king over Israel. Samuel had already anointed him, Brother Gary. Right. And here he is running from the current king, God's current anointed. God hadn't removed Saul from office yet. He's running from it for his life. I mean, he's already slain the bear and the lion, and he's killed Goliath. And I mean, you talk about great victory being wrought in the life of somebody. I mean, the whole nation has been delivered at David's hand. And all the young ladies were singing, boy, David, or Saul has killed his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And you talk about being on the mountaintop, it doesn't get much higher than that. Talking about faith in God, you don't see any better example of it. How many times is that story of David and Goliath mentioned in Sunday school when kids are little all the way up till now? We still like reading it, don't we, every one of us, to think that we serve a God like that. David had been serving a God like that. He had delivered his entire nation, and he finds himself running from the king, supposedly the anointed of God, and he was the anointed of God, eaten up by jealousy and rage and the fact that he was out of the will of God now. David running for his life. And when you study that story and some of the things he had to do, boy, he went down into the camp of the Philistines and, boy, Brother George, remember, pretended like he was just out of his mind, drooling on himself and everything at the gate so he could get in, just so he could get away from Saul, man. I mean, he was trying to kill him. Everywhere he turned, there he was, an army pursuing after him. And just, they wanted his head. He wanted his life. You think he had to wonder, you know, God, what? Lord, I've trusted you by faith. I mean, I've helped deliver the entire nation. I mean, you've slain Goliath through me. What's going on here? you know, why am I suddenly finding myself in affliction? You know, God was preparing him to be king of Israel. He wasn't ready yet. He wasn't ready, and it took the furnace of affliction to make him into the man that God needed him to be to lead a nation and run life. He didn't understand that. God knew full well. David learned that. It was something he had to learn, something he had to go through, he had to experience, and then he understood what God was trying to do in his life. Look here in Psalm 119 and verse 100. Psalm 119 and verse 100. Turn there. I should have told you where we were. There might be a few places from pages from where you are. Psalm 119, verse 100. He said, I understand more than the ancients. David loved the Word of God. You know, there was a reason for that. There was a reason why he loved the Word of God. God had taught him the value of His Word. He said, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. What's he saying? He said, I've got more understanding than people that are a lot older than I am, because I keep your word. That's true today. You'll find yourself as a believer, you can go out in the world and find people that are unbelievers and a lot older you are. You have a lot more understanding than they do because you understand the Word of God and you're keeping it. If you keep it, that's true today. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. And look at verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. I'm afflicted very much. He said, take thy word and quicken me. Boy, make me alive. Get my senses back about me. Help me get back on the right track according to thy word. Now, if you would back up in the Psalm, stay in that same Psalm 119, look at verse number 65. This is where we can really see that David had learned what God was trying to do with affliction in his life. And if God's no respecter of persons, and we know he's not, we can safely say that God is doing the very same thing in your life and my life this morning. Psalm 119, verse number 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Verse number 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Nothing will teach you to be obedient to the word of the Lord like affliction, Brother Terry. It'll make you hold fast to the word of God and think, boy, there's some things I need to take hold of in there. There's some things I need to get a hold of in my life. And you'll remember some experiences of your past. You'll remember some affliction, and it'll make you take hold of the word of God. That's what happened to David. David had taken hold of the word of God because of affliction. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. I think before he took the word of God a little lighter than he did after he went through the affliction. I'm not saying the word of God didn't mean anything to him, but he said he went astray. He said, but now have I kept thy word. When? After I went through the affliction. Now I keep your word. God will teach us how to be obedient through affliction, Brother Gary. In affliction, when you have no other answers, when there's no other place to turn, when nobody understands what you're going through, not your wife, not your child, not your brethren, not your preacher, not anybody. You don't have anybody to turn, and there are times like that for all of us. Thank God there are many things we can turn to each other with and we can help each other, but there are some things and there are some times that nobody understands outside of you and the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you have nobody else to turn to, Brother Mike, it's then that we go to the Word of God, when that's when we can really find our comfort and our strength in the Lord. It's in those times of affliction. And boy, we can take hold of the Word of God. And it's the only thing we've got. And that's when the Word of God becomes real to you. That's when you can really use it to bolster yourself. And boy, it becomes alive inside you. It's not just words on a page. It gets in your heart. That's why David hid the Word of God in his heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. he had it become real to him. It was more than just a book, more than even just a book that God had written. It had become a part of his life. It had become a part of his being. It was a part of him. That's what God wants it to be to us. He wants it to be more than just something we pick up on Sunday and read. He wants it to be more than just something we use a devotional every day and say, okay, well, I read my chapter today, or I read my five chapters or whatever, and I can go on with my day. Not saying there's anything wrong, we're all supposed to be reading. We should be bringing our Bibles to church with us. We should be reading every day. But God wants it to be real. He wants it to be a part of us. And that's what it had become in the life of David. Let's read that a little further. Verse 68, he said, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. David said, with all of me, everything that's in me, I'm going to keep your precepts. Verse number 70, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Look at verse number 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Boy, that's hard to think of that way. I think that might be why Paul could go up into the inner prison and him and Barnabas and sing praises to God, being chained to the wall. You think he might have been thinking, it's good for me to be afflicted? Boy, when I'm in the valley, when everything's going wrong, that's when I find Jesus' strength is made perfect in weakness. I think that might be how he might have been able to rejoice, because he was seeing past the circumstance, Brother Gary. That's what we got to learn how to do. When affliction comes, we got to learn to see past the circumstance and see what God's trying to do, Brother Mike. See, God is trying to produce something in me and in you, something better. I mean, we're going to come out of that furnace purified. And if we can just see that by faith, we can rejoice in affliction and say, praise God, God's trying to make me into something better. If he didn't care for me, I wouldn't be going through this affliction right now. If God wasn't trying to purify me, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. God is trying to build me into something better. Praise God. I mean, we can rejoice in that. I used to read that, especially as a younger believer. I think, how in the world could they stand in there and pray? They didn't know that they were going to have their heads taken off. Paul didn't care. He had gotten to the place, he said, I don't even count my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course with joy. That's sometimes we hold too much dear that really doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, when we get home to be with the Lord and this life's passed away and the earth's been consumed with the fervent heat, what's really going to matter about all these things that we got such a death grip on right now that we hold so precious? It don't matter at all. Right. Paul was looking past all that. He was looking ahead to what God was going to do. I think he was looking ahead to eternity, and he was looking ahead even in this life to what God was producing. He didn't care. He didn't care what happened. Did not care. He was going to rejoice in the affliction, and boy, we can do the same thing. He said in verse number 72, he said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The law of thy mouth is better unto me, David said, than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted. Your judgments are right, Lord. God, you know what's best. He said, and in faithfulness, you've afflicted me. You've been faithful to me. And in that faithfulness, you've chosen to afflict me. He said, you know what's right, Lord. You know what's right. It's like Jesus prayed in the garden, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, you know what's best. We need to have that kind of soberness in our prayer too. We want what we want, don't we? I mean, we're like kids, really, most of the time. We want what we want. But we need to back away and say, Lord, Lord, you know what's best. God, let your will be done. Lord, here's what I want, but let your will be done. You know what's best. And God in his faithfulness had afflicted David, and David had learned that, and he learned that through the furnace of affliction. Any other way he could learn it. And he had learned how to hold on to the Word of God and to hide it in his heart and to make it a part of him through affliction, no other way. You take it lightly. Hey, if everything's going good, Brother Terry, you really, you know, it's sad, it's fleshly, it's carnal, but when everything's going good, do we really need God like we do in the valley? No, if everything's going good, you don't really have the need to call on God. Don't really have the need to take hold of the Word of God and hide it in your heart. You know what? If affliction doesn't come, Brother Mike, there's nothing. How's God going to deliver us if there's never anything there to deliver us from? Got to have something to deliver us from, Brother Gary, before we can see him as our deliverer. But I don't know about you, but I'd just rather have life just even keeled with no problems at all. I just pray all the problems away, Lord. I just don't want any affliction. I'd just rather just skip through life all the way to heaven. Well, God designed it a different way. And I've learned more, and you've learned more. Be honest with yourself this morning. You've learned more in affliction in the valley than you've ever learned on the mountaintop. And I have. I know I have. I don't want to learn that way. That's where I learned. That's where we all learn. James chapter number 5, verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? The Bible says. We find ourselves in affliction sometimes. Is any among you afflicted? He's asking a question. I said, let him pray. Let him pray. That would be the best times of prayer in your entire life. If we could just pray and wait on God, God will always come through. Always come through. Always bring us out on the other side. And when we come out on the other side, Brother Mike, not going to be like we were when we came in. We're going to be better for it. Better for it. And we're going to have a stronger respect for the Word of God. We're going to learn some things through that trial that we've taken hold of that got us through that valley. And they're going to be a part of us that will never be taken away. They'll be there. They'll be rooted in us for the rest of our life. And